The Mountain Stood So Large. Written by Espera and read to you by Keeper of Seeds. The fandom is Mo Dao Zhu Shu, or The Untamed. The main relationship pairing for this story is Lan Xichen / Jin Guanyao / Nie Mingjue. There are additional tags for body horror, unreliable narrator, and hallucinations. Summary. 1 week before his death, Nie Mingjue constantly teeters on the edge of a qi deviation. In an effort to soothe his soul, Nie Hui San begs Lan Xichen and Jin Guanyao to take him on a simple night hunt to help him relax. It is anything but simple. Jin Guanyao's laughter echoes in the barren halls of the unclean realm, the same way it echoes in the chambers of Nie Mingjue's mind. Meng Yao did not laugh as freely. He hardly laughed at all. Only when the door shut behind him, and he found himself surrounded by an intimate company, his own brush stroking against paper, and the rhythmic stretch of fabric as Nie Mingjue completed his nightly stretches, did he allow himself to laugh. Even then, it was nothing more than a breathy chuckle, as if he were afraid of disturbing the stillness of the night with his amusement. The sound grates against his ears. Bashia trembles in her stand, forever attuned to the firework burst of anger just under his skin. Hui San notices. He always notices, even when he pretends not to. This night hunt will be good for you, Daga. Stabbing ghosts is the perfect way to relieve all that stress you've built up. He doesn't work on his paintings anymore. Not when Nie Mingjue is around. But does he really think he's sly enough to hide the ink that stains his fingers? Or the drop of black on his tongue from where he always licks his brush? They are closer than they used to be, after Sword Sacrifice Hall. Not that they speak of what happened there. Still, trust, once broken, is a difficult bridge to rebuild. Too many planks remain rotted away by outbursts gone one step too far. Jin Guanyao laughs again. The sound pierces his ears. He rubs his temple with a groan. Dage, Hui San says, do you have another headache? You need a healer, don't you? I don't know where they are. Let me find Zongwei. Bashia jerks, screeching her grief in her stand. Hui San jumps at the sound, then hides his heartache behind the flick of his fan. Find Jin Guanyao, Nie Mingjue grits out, his teeth grind together. Tell him to behave himself. He looks at Hui San. Even with half his face hidden, his confusion is easy to read in his eyes. Dage, he says softly. Sangha hasn't arrived yet. Jin Guanyao and Lan Xichen arrive together the following day. Nie Mingjue does not bow to them when they offer their respects. He lets Jin Guanyao's eyes cling to him like embers cling to weak wood, glancing up at him from behind the shade of his clasped hands. Nie Mingjue thinks of multiple things. He thinks of dragging Jin Guanyao out of the unclean realm by his hat. He thinks of asking him to summon his guqin, only to smash it over his head. He thinks of tearing out his throat with his teeth, and watching every secret stored in his blood pour out. He thinks of shoving him up against the wall and fucking him so thoroughly he'll never leave again. That's the thing about Meng Yao. Nie Mingjue didn't want him to leave. Even when he banished him from Qinghe, every part of him screamed at Meng Yao to stop. He didn't miss the hunger Meng Yao watched Jin messengers with. He didn't miss the way his fingers would linger over the peony seal on Jin letters. They even spoke of it once or twice. How Meng Yao would like to one day go back, to face his father, and receive recognition for the gentry blood in his veins. The offer lingered on his tongue, like a sour taste. He could relieve Meng Yao of his duty, give him a letter of recommendation, written in Nie Mingjue's hand, and escort him personally to the steps of Koi Tower. Meng Yao was well aware of the half-siblings he had spread across the lands, even if he had never met them personally. How many others of his kin had risen to relevance? A fellow sect leader's blessing should be enough to warrant Jin Guanshan's attention, if not his favor. For all Meng Yao was a jewel, polished and dug out from the deepest depths of the Nie sect as Huisan, and for all Huisan adored him, there were other attendants that could aid them. There were even other vice-generals, or at least, ones close enough in rank to be mistaken as such. Ones with stronger cores and sharper saber skills. Huisan needed an ally here, Nie Mingjue had told himself. He couldn't tear his brother away from the one disciple who understood him in all the ways Nie Mingjue never could. His letter of recommendation gathered dust in his drawers. Nie Mingjue needed Meng Yao here too. None of them had Meng Yao's mind. None of them had the power in his soft voice when he'd lean over Nie Mingjue's shoulder and whisper that the Yao sect is trying to cheat him out of a tax they owed. He'd go to waste living among the pompous Jin. Then, Meng Yao murdered his brothers in arms with a smirk on his face, and took a sword to the heart for Nie Mingjue, as if one sacrifice could cleanse him of all his lies. Nie Mingjue is not used to being denied what he wants. Not from his disciples, whose respect outweighs any hesitance. Or his parents, when they still lived, who were too consumed with pity to ever try. There are some things stronger than wanting. Justice, duty, restraint. Nie Mingjue restrains himself here, with a level of self-control that would make Lan Xichen's ancestors proud. He does not move any closer to either of his sworn brothers. Go sit in the meeting hall. I'll join you shortly. That earns him a confused look from Lan Xichen. You're not joining us, Mingjue Xiong? I have to see to Huisan's matters first. Jin Guanyao chuckles. It isn't the laugh he heard yesterday. This is soft, breathy, one step removed from Meng Yao. Baxia is not strapped to his back. It is good practice to keep her close at all times, but disrespectful to greet your sworn brothers with a blade, even if one of those brothers is Jin Guanyao. But he's certain she must be screaming in her stand. Be gentle with him, Daga. Huisan's stamina is always lower than you expect, Jin Guanyao says. Advises, as if he were still Huisan's attendant and Nie Mingjue's confidant. He catches blood dripping from Jin Guanyao's mouth. He blinks, and all he sees are pink lips, tilted in a concerned frown. Dugga? I'll return soon, Nie Mingjue mutters, leaving them to their own devices. His fists clench at his sides. He keeps his nails shorter than he should, but they dig into his calloused palms anyway. If he were any weaker, they'd draw blood. He storms through the unclean realm, his feet following a well-worn path to Huaisan's rooms. Servants and disciples alike scramble to get out of his way. They've grown used to this pattern. Huaisan will slack off, and Nie Mingjue will burst into his room and threaten to break his brushes and burn his fans if he doesn't take his training seriously. He once followed through on the threat. They don't talk about it. Panic builds up in the back of his throat. It sits a little like dried-out phlegm, the kind he gets at the tail end of an illness. He clears his throat on a growl as he throws Huaisan's door open and barks out his brother's name. Huaisan! Yes? Huaisan hops to his feet and mimes a stance Nie Mingjue walked the disciples through just that morning. His posture is all wrong. His saber isn't anywhere in sight. Daga! Ah, yes. How good to see you. I was just... Someone could come after Huaisan, and he would be hopeless to defend himself. Nie Mingjue's men are loyal, to himself and to Huaisan both. They train from birth to give their life in service of the sect. Yet Nie Mingjue struggles to find an appropriate attendant for Huaisan. Zongwei has barely been laid to rest. Who would dare take his position? Worse still, how could Nie Mingjue disrespect Zongwei's memory so thoroughly? The Wens are dead, and the Jin and the Lan are sworn to the Nie by blood, and the Jiang are too focused on rebuilding their shattered sect to care about anything else. Still, there are only so many dangers this fortress can keep out. Rats can slip through the smallest crack. Shirking off, Nie Mingjue says. He does not need to look to know that Huaisan was painting. As usual. I did my training this morning. I even stretched and everything. Ask Nie Wenyu. She saw me. That is important, yes. But it isn't what he came here to talk about. Nie Mingjue steps closer. Huaisan squares his shoulders and faces him head on. He'd make his ancestors proud with that posture. A real Nie hair. He has to act like one, too. Nie Mingjue grips his arms. Even through the robes, he's so thin. Where's his muscle? How can he shove away an attacker? Is he stronger than Jin Guanyao? They're both small and slight, though Huaisan may be a little bulkier. He definitely is now, than compared to when Nie Mingjue had known Meng Yao. Huaisan, listen to me. You can't trust him. You can't listen to him. Huaisan blinks his confusion. Who? Nie Mingjue leans closer. Could he be listening? No, he can't. Not with Lan Xichen at his side. He'd never dare arouse the suspicions of his beloved Zhuo Jun. Jin Guanyao, he whispers. Sangha? Huaisan frowns. It's not the same frown he'd had as a boy. This one is laced with distrust. I can't believe you still haven't forgiven him for that thing with the captain. It's been years. How can you proclaim your morality is more just than his, when I know what you brought your men to the sword sacrifice hall for? They don't talk about it, but they talk around it all the same. Ye Mingjue grits his teeth. He grips Huaisan's arm harder. Listen to me, Huaisan. He's not what you think he is. They don't talk about what happened at Nightless City either. Not about the boot-shaped bruise that laid over Nie Mingjue's heart and refused to fade for days. Not the way Meng Giao sliced open Nie Mingjue's still-fledgling grief over how he'd share the same fate his father met. Not the way he caressed Baxia, the way he would a lover. The way he used to touch Nie Mingjue. He was Meng Yao then, but in Nie Mingjue's head, all he can see is Jin Guanyao. As the years pass, the man exists in a duality in his head. The boy by the river, and the man in gold. Never to meet, never to mix. One stone, polished by rushing river waters, and the other, a gleaming bauble lit under the harsh light of a con man's market stall. They just got here, didn't they? Erge and Sangha? I heard a servant talking about preparing the tea Erge likes so much. Then, with an understanding look that makes Nie Mingjue's blood boil, they still need to play for you. Huaisan does not play for him. He does not offer. Do you have to be so difficult, Huaisan? Listen to me, and tell me you won't go near him. You should really let them play for you. I think it's bad today. Nie Mingjue sees red. He grips Huaisan even tighter. Huaisan tenses in response. He moves like he doesn't know how to wrench himself loose, like those vain little birds he likes to trap and display like trophies. Nie Mingjue grips even tighter. Huaisan can't break free. He'll be shot out of the sky if he leaves, blood and feathers raining down from above. Jin Guanyao isn't the best archer, but he's good enough. Listen to me. Don't go near him. Don't let him come near you. He has to keep Huaisan safe. He'd do anything, everything, to guarantee his brother's safety. He'd tear Jin Guanyao in half and bear Lan Xichen's furious grief if it meant securing Huaisan's safety. Huaisan hisses. Through the red, Nie Mingjue sees... He sees... water? Huaisan is crying. Daga! Stop! Stop it! You're hurting me! He shouts frantically. He struggles harder. Nie Mingjue lets go of him, his robes burning holes in his palms. Is Huaisan bruised beneath his robes? Did Nie Mingjue do that? Huaisan stumbles back into his table, hard enough to hiss at the impact of the wood against his shin. Huaisan, Nie Mingjue says. His throat tries to close up. He forces the words out anyways. They all taste like bile. I'm sorry. Please. He doesn't know what he's asking for. He doesn't know what he has the right to ask for. It's... Huaisan steals himself. It's okay. I get it. You're sick. The red clears, and Nie Mingjue remembers something he tries hard not to think about. Their father was like this too, in the days before his death. He sees that same thought reflected in Huesan's shaky smile. Let's take you to Urga and Sangha, yeah? They'll help you. Huesan takes Nie Mingjue's arm and leads him back to the meeting hall. They don't talk about this, either. Lan Xichen and Jin Guanyao play for Nie Mingjue. Cleansing washes over him in waves. Lan Xichen leads the song. It sounds different than what Nie Mingjue is used to. He doesn't know why. Nie Mingjue and Lan Xichen met when Nie Mingjue was 15, 6 months before he was supposed to go to the Cloud Recesses for their guest lectures, and 1 month after Nie Mingjue's father had died, leaving his sect in the hands of a teenager. That's the future leader of the Lan sect, Lan Xichen, Zuo Jun, a senior Nie disciple, and his father's right-hand man had whispered in Nie Mingjue's ear. Back then, his words served a better use than his blood. A year later, he'd led that senior disciple into the Sword Sacrifice Hall to appease the Blade Spirits. I should go greet him, right? Nie Mingjue had asked. It would be courteous to do so. As he approached, Lan Xichen sank into a bow, the Lan disciples 3 times his age following his lead without question. He was shorter than Nie Mingjue, he remembers, and far closer to childhood than Nie Mingjue had felt in years. Still, he'd carried the weight of the Lan sect's thousands of rules with a grace that would crush a lesser person. Nie Mingjue bowed back. They were peers a month ago. They will be peers again eventually. I wanted to meet you, sect leader Nie, Lan Xichen had said, in a voice that had yet to develop the tenor of adulthood. I wish it could have been under better circumstances. As do I, Nie Mingjue had said. Please, join me for... He hesitates, checking over his shoulder for his senior's nod before continuing. Tea? Lan Xichen had smiled. Nie Mingjue wondered if trying to capture the thrill down his spine at the sight was what sent Huesan chasing after brushes to render his world in ink. They had sipped tea and learned about each other's beliefs. After that, they had faced each other at the end of Two Blades. For the first time in his life, Nie Mingjue learned why people chase after their equals with such desperation. They understand each other. What it feels like to be a brother one day and a facsimile of a father the next. How heavy it is to carry a sect on a back that is yet to fully grow. What it feels like to look at their broken world and crave justice. Lan Xichen had been the one to suggest this night hunt, with Jin Guanyao quick to agree. Even if he hadn't, Nie Mingjue wouldn't have refused. He's always trusted Lan Xichen's judgment, and at the end of the day, he trusts Lan Xichen more than he distrusts Jin Guanyao. So they set out that afternoon, bags packed with enough supplies for a day hunt. There are reports of a resentful spirit haunting the woods of Qinghe Mountain. The local villagers believe it might be a young mother who went into the woods to pick mushrooms and never returned. That she kills anyone who steps foot in the forest, hoping for a companion to ease her loneliness. It's the kind of night hunt that's far below a sect leader's skill, let alone 2 sect leaders, and the heir to a 3rd. 3 12-year-olds with peanut-sized cores could take care of this ghost without so much as a single scrap. It isn't about the ghost. It isn't even about the hunt. It's an excuse to take Nie Mingjue away from his responsibilities and spend time together. They don't talk about it. Once, he would have longed for this exact situation. To spend uninterrupted time with the 2 men who saw him the most clearly was once such a fond dream. They had so little time before the winds raised the cloud recesses to the ground and forced Nie Mingjue out of his ancestral home just to be. I've always wanted to night hunt. Just the 3 of us, Lan Xichen sighs. And in such a beautiful location. It feels almost like a retreat, Jin Guanya says. There's a part of Nie Mingjue that wants to sink into the comfort of their voices. He doesn't quite meditate when they play for him, but the feeling is similar. A blank contentment. Cleansing feels like water pouring over dirty robes, washing out the day's strain. The kind of rhythmic action one can sink into for hours. Jin Guanya spends nearly as much time in the unclean realm as he does in Koi Tower. He insists it isn't a problem. He isn't sect leader. And aiding his sworn brother's recovery takes precedence over showing guests their seats on behalf of his father. His father understands. They reach the border of the forest. It is not the kind of forest Hui San would want to paint. Tall trees dot the mountainside, but they're gangly, eternally half-starved by the arid climate. Light brown, almost gray bark clings to their thin trunks. Their only water comes from rain, and it hasn't rained in weeks. Nor are their branches thick enough to shield them from the harsh sunlight. Browned brush clings to their ankles, burrs embedding themselves in the bottom of their robes. Large rocks tumble away in protest as they move over them. Smaller rocks and leaves crunch beneath their steps. It is unforgiving, but it is home. Do we know where the ghost is? Nie Mingjue asks. Nothing concrete, I'm afraid, Lan Xichen says. We'll have to search for signs of resentful energy. There are ways to make it easier. He's seen the Yiling Latsu's inventions spread out from his followers like smoke, choking the good minds of the cultivators who were fortunate enough to be spared the horrors of Nightless City. He's even heard of Lan Xichen's brother pushing for the use of his inventions in the Cloud Recess's own lectures. Nie Mingjue would never allow it, not within any part of Qinghe. Jin Guanyao's betrayal and lies still sting, but even he hasn't sunk as low as that damned Wei Wuxian. Nie Mingjue closes his eyes and stops. He hears the wind rustling and what few leaves are strong enough to grow here. Somewhere, a deer's hooves thud against the hard earth. He smells a faint whiff of smoke. His eyes fly open, and he looks around. But all he sees, that is out of the ordinary, are 2 worried faces. Did you sense anything, Mingjue Xiong? Lan Xichen asks. No. Nothing. They keep moving. Perhaps we should split up, Jin Guanyao suggests, after an hour of fruitless searching. The trees blend together. If not for the sun guiding their path, they could have been endlessly walking in circles. We'll cover more ground that way. You're correct, but we also have plenty of time, Lan Xichen says, gesturing to the evening sun. With the three of us together, if one of us finds something, then we're all aware of the information. He glances at Nie Mingjue as he speaks, as if he is a nursemaid, too afraid to let his infant charge out of his sight. The concern stifles him. A small part of him bristles at agreeing with Jin Guanyao. But the man has a point. You don't need to watch over me, Xichen. Jin Guanyao is right. But Erger brings up an excellent point. I should have thought of that myself, Jin Guanyao says. His praise flows like juice from an overripe fruit, the kind Nie Mingjue always throws away in disgust. How can Lan Xichen take that drivel and smile at it, the way he smiles now? It seems he's outnumbered. Arguing now would look like a temper tantrum. For all he hates playing politics, he knows when to concede. Nie Mingjue focuses his attention on the surrounding trees, looking for anything out of the ordinary. The villagers didn't have any details about their missing kin, not where they disappeared, or if anything outside of coming to this forest triggered those disappearances. Just that they'd never returned. It makes it more difficult to know where to start. He soon spots a tree, more gnarled than the rest. He approaches it, taking note of the eerie pale patchwork of color on its trunk. Far below his eye level, but if he had to estimate, it'd be right around the shoulder level of a typical villager. There's a ridge on the tree that shouldn't be here. The bark there peeled away to reveal the white flesh beneath. Running his hand along the ridge only confirms his suspicions. Did you find something, Daga? Jin Guanyao asks. A discordant melody of rocks crunch under two pairs of boots as they approach, settling in on either side of him. Nie Mingjue crouches, searching the brush below for any irregularities. If the bark's been damaged, there's a chance he'll find the remnants of whatever happened here. He pushes the rocks away, before finding something that feels distinctly soft. Too soft. He picks up his own severed finger. He drops it the moment his mind is able to realize what it is. He hears Lan Xichen and Jin Guanyao both make sounds of worry, but they seem so far away, as if speaking from the other side of a towering wall. He's not afraid of any stray body parts. What kind of Nie is? He checks over his own hands, counting his fingers one by one. They're all there, all unmarred by anything outside the usual cuts and scrapes that come with being a cultivator. He dimly registers Jin Guanyao crouching next to him. You found something, Daga? He asks, searching for the finger. But it can't be. How could it be? That he dropped. In Jin Guanyao's hands, it is a rotten fruit. Nothing more than a crumpled, dried-out half of an orange. A fruit, Lan Xichen observes. I never expected you to be the squeamish type, Mingjue Xiong. Nie Mingjue tries to breathe. He can't let them know what he saw. It wasn't real. How could it be? His vision flashes red, and he rapidly blinks it away. He lets Lan Xichen and Jin Guanyao talk over him. Oranges aren't native to this part of Qinghe. It must be left over from a traveler. Food that the animals have yet to get. And the bark above has been torn, Lan Xichen says. Signs of a struggle. Jin Guanyao nods. We should keep looking. This was a good discovery, Daga. Nie Mengjue turns to face him. Jin Guanyao's smile is small, barely enough to show his dimples. Nie Mengjue suspects it may be genuine. As recent events show, his thoughts aren't always to be trusted. They search the ground for more dropped items, taking careful note of any additional discoloration on the surrounding trees. Lan Xichen finds what he suspects to be dried blood on another tree, while Jin Guanyao discovers torn scraps of cloth hanging from a low branch. It shouldn't come as a surprise that the three of them work well together. And yet, Nie Mengjue finds himself tamping down shock every time they slot another piece of the mystery into place. Nie Mengjue knows just how capable Jin Guanyao is. Saw it before the rest of the cultivation world cared to notice, even. And Lan Xichen has always been nothing if not skilled. And surely the months Lan Xichen spent with Meng Yao, as his only ally in a war-torn world, point to a deep compatibility between the two. Jin Guanyao's father certainly thinks they work well together. Enough to allow his bastard son to proclaim a shared sense of duty at their side, professing to the heavens above and the earth below. Things are not as simple as all that. Far less simple than the time they shared together after, sharing from the same cup of blood-red wine. Far less simple than the way his sworn brothers leaned against his either side after they drained the jar. Far less simple than the time they had spent together long before. They find other clues. Rivets, deep in the ground, from bodies being dragged away. A fingernail, embedded in a broken branch. An overturned straw basket, eaten away by the elements. Nie Mengjue is tipping the basket over when he feels something. At least, he thinks he does. Fingers brushing along the nape of his neck. It brings to mind sense memories he'd rather leave in the past. To braid another's hair in Qinghe is a sign of brotherhood. Outer disciples wear braids simple enough to do on their own. But inner disciples, high-ranking officials, and heirs, they all wear braids that border impractical when managed on their own. He dwells on boyhood memories of braiding Huisan's hair into this distinctive coil he'd come to love as a teenager, talking him through every twist, every loop. When Huisan was old enough, Nie Mengjue knelt in front of him and instructed him to do the same. Meng Yao would do the same for Nie Mengjue, arriving in his room shortly after dawn with a tray of breakfast and enough hairpins to stab a man to death. Their tea would steep as Meng Yao brushed the tangles out of his hair. Then he'd get to work, helping Nie Mengjue be presentable to the rest of the world after they finished their meal. If there were mornings where he draped Nie Mingjue's hair over his shoulder and kissed his neck in a way that spoke of something far removed from brotherhood, then no one else had to know. Then there was the night before they shot the sun out of the sky. Nie Mingjue pacing in his tent, as Lan Xichen's worried eyes stuck to him. We can do nothing but wait, Mingjue Xiong. There are less stressful ways to pass the time than this, Lan Xichen had said, pulling away the map his benefactor, his friend, his savior, Nie Mingjue's traitor, had given to him. Even with Lan Xichen's unwavering belief in their success, Nie Mingjue did not expect to see tomorrow's sunset. A way to pass the time. Something to keep himself occupied, without draining his spiritual power or tiring his body. Xichen, how familiar are you with Qinghe hairstyles? He had asked. That was how they had ended up on the floor of Nie Mingjue's tent. Lan Xichen's head, bare of all decorations save for his forehead ribbon. And Nie Mingjue, careful not to touch the white fabric, even as he sectioned Lan Xichen's hair into small Qinghe braids. Something benefiting a high-ranking general. Or, a traitorous part of his mind had said, a consort. A lover. He had swept Lan Xichen's hair over his shoulder and let his fingers drag across the nape of his neck, not missing the shiver that raked Lan Xichen's once steady shoulders before going deathly still. I apologize, Nie Mingjue had said. That was careless of me. Mingjue Xiong, Lan Xichen had replied, more kindly than warranted. Did I say your touch made me uncomfortable? So Nie Mingjue had done it again, and again, until his touch had strayed, and he could feel the rush of life once more before his inevitable death. Yet he is still here now. He wonders if something similar kept the ghost they chased still tethered to the earth. That animal desire for companionship before the end. By the time the sun hangs low in the sky, they've assembled a narrative for their ghost, if not a path to subdue her. The spirit seems to drag her victims away, uncaring of what they leave behind. Jin Guanyao summarizes that the torn bark seems to occur in specific places, but Nie Mingjue is the one to figure out what direction the lost travelers were dragged towards. It seems their ghost physically stole its victims while they still lived. There are faster ways to do this. They're all aware. As long as no more villagers are being attacked, they have the time to waste. They don't talk about it. Besides, the trek through the mountainside leaves a pleasant burn in Nie Mingjue's legs. Physical exertion, without the threat of danger hanging over his head, is calming. Though Jin Guanyao's wariness never seems to fade, Nie Mingjue finally feels himself start to relax. They climb a particularly steep part of the mountain. The trees are even sparser here, their roots struggling to find purchase in such uneven terrain. They're forced to keep low to the ground, grabbing on to the harder parts of the ground to better haul themselves forward. Throughout it, a pair of dark eyes never leave Nie Mingjue. Stop staring at me, he says. I only glanced at you out of my worry, Daga, Jin Guanyao replies. I don't need your worry. Mingjue Xiong, please, Lan Xichen says. Nie Mingjue knows that halting tone. He's heard it increasingly often in the past few months. When he was younger, and less tempered by anger, He used that same voice to beg Huaisan to train with him. "Si Chen," he snaps. "I am not a child. Don't talk to me like one." "Daga, Erger didn't mean to disrespect you," Jin Guanyao says, always quick to cut in when it comes to defending Lan Sichen. "He and I want nothing but your safety and health. Perhaps we should take a break. We can play for you. Isn't that right, Erger?" "And deplete your spiritual energy before we've even found the ghost," Ye Mingjue counters. "Any strain it cost us is worth your safety," Jin Guanyao says. "If Erger and I play together, it would barely be a strain at all." "Regardless, we have better things to do." Sensing a fight, Lan Sichen steps in. "Please forgive me my words, Daga. It seems my fondness for you can override the respect you deserve. We don't have to rest if you don't feel the need to. Whatever best aids you, will do." For all he wants to remain angry, those words help soften the fight in him. That's why they're here, on this ridiculous night hunt for children. To aid him. They do it so there won't be another sword sacrifice hall. They don't talk about that. But it hangs over Nie Mingjue all the same. Huaisan's letter begging them to come visit would never dare mention it, but it influences every stroke of his brush. "I am dying," he thinks. "It's fine, Si Chen." "Yes. Let's rest." For all the harsh angles of the mountainside, they're able to find a large rock sticking out of the ground, big enough for the three of them to sit on if they stay close together. He can't feel the heat of their skin, not with the layers of robes separating them all. But he can remember the feeling, and his imagination is enough to bridge the gap between memory and reality. Jin Guanyao is the one to bring out their meal. Simple, hearty breads, and canisters of water. Jin Guanyao's eyes linger on the water as he passes one to Nie Mingjue and another to Lan Sichen. Nie Mingjue thinks he may be thrown back into the same memories Nie Mingjue can never quite forget, as much as he had tried. Meng Yao had once said how meeting Nie Mingjue changed his life. He whispered it in bed, late one summer, long after the rest of the unclean realm had settled down for the night. "You had spoken to me only twice before that. Once to ask for an inkstone, and once to correct my saber form. That day by the river was the first time you saw me," he had said. And what had he seen? A hard-working disciple ranked so low that not a single braid adorned his head. Someone one step above a servant, who worked four times as hard as half his senior advisors. Someone hated by his brothers for reasons far out of his control, and still served them regardless. On that summer night, Nie Mingjue had maneuvered Meng Yao until his ear pressed against his bare chest, directly over his thudding heartbeat. "I should have seen you sooner," he said. It was an apology then. A year later, it was a sword in Meng Yao's chest. "I could have carried this, Ah Yao," Lan Sichen says, back in the present. "No need, Erge. I'm used to carrying supplies," Jin Guanyao says. So they are thinking of the same thing. All this time, and some level of their old understanding still remains. It isn't that he misses the man Jin Guanyao was. he misses the man he thought Meng Yao was. They eat in silence, out of respect for Lan Xichen's own rules. He's always shared his meals in silence with Nie Mingjue. Such a stark difference to the rowdiness that always accompanies meals in the Nie sect. Hui San can hardly stop talking long enough to place another bite of food in his mouth. And all his complaints and excited stories just tempt Nie Mingjue to add to the conversation. I don't know if you'll have enough room to play here, Jin Guanyao says, once the food is finished. He pulls a small flute out of his pouch, steady in his grip. For a moment, Nie Mingjue is transported to another world. He sees Wei Wuxian at Nightless City, twirling that damned dizzy between his fingers, as if the blood of his brothers didn't stain the ground. He sees the dark smoke of resentful energy that followed the man after the Sunshot campaign coalesce in the sky, viscous and thick, like infected blood that had yet to congeal properly. He hears those shrill, haunting notes play in the air. He blinks, dragging himself back to this empty forest. The resentful energy coils around Jin Guanyao's shoulders like a lover's embrace. Baxia is in his hands before he knows that it is there. Her cold steel snaps him back to his senses. He feels his chest heave, breath escaping him in heavy pants. The flute lays in splinters on the rock. Jin Guanyao has scrambled backward, eyes wide and large with panic. Lan Xichen has moved in front of him. Xu Yu is still sheathed, but held in front of him. The sight is familiar, and they all know it. It hangs on them, sticky and unsure. "How dare you, Jin Guanyao?" Nie Mingjue hisses. "Mingjue Xiong," Lan Xichen says. His voice is no longer calm and patronizing, but sharp and fiercely protective. "A Yao has done nothing to you." "Dage," Jin Guanyao adds from behind him. "I was just going to play cleansing. The only musical cultivation I know, I learned for your sake," he says. "You know that." "Do I?" Nie Mingjue says. Some distant part of him wonders what summoned this rage so quickly. When Rohan could have taught you anything in those months you spent as his dog. More words bubble in his throat, eager to get out. "He didn't. I served him years ago, Daga." And it was. But crimes are not so easily forgiven. "I understand if this flute has made you upset. I can't summon my Guqin, so I thought it best to bring this instead," he explains. "You spent months at his side," Nie Mingjue says. The smell of sulfur threatens to choke him. "Of course it didn't matter. Just like the lives you killed didn't matter." "Mingjue Xiong." Lan Xichen's voice is sharper now. Nie Mingjue can barely hear it, hidden as it is, behind a veil of screaming puppets. He is so far away, and it is just himself and Jin Guanyao, clad in a dark silver he refused to wear in Qinghe, and could never explain why. Red and silver, and blood and steel and corpses. And music. Strings plucking gently, stirring his frenzied spirit to sleep. Baxia groans in his hands, protesting the heaviness that settles in his limbs. Nie Mingjue lowers Baxia until she digs into the rocky soil below. He looks around himself as his chi settles back into his body, his core no longer threatening to burn him from the inside out. He blinks. His eyelashes stick to his cheeks when he tries. Confused, he scrubs at his face. When he pulls back his hand, it's covered in red. He looks around himself. Lan Xichen plays cleansing on his guqin, plucking out the same melody with deft fingers. It sounds different here, but Nie Mingjue can't figure out why. Something about it moves lighter, lilting in the air instead of settling deep in his bones. Is it how it echoes in the open air instead of an enclosed space? He knows nothing of music. Jin Guanyao creeps closer, a small cloth in his hands. Dage, your face, he says softly. He is too polite to directly point out the blood that runs from his eyes and fills his mouth with the sharp taste of iron. You were gone for a few moments. Is that what we're calling it? Nie Mingjue asks. Gone? You're sick, he says softly. Would you rather me say that? I am dying, he does not think. He knows. Can I clean your face? Jin Guanyao asks. Ergo will keep playing for you. Your qi should settle soon, if it hasn't already. Don't touch me, Jin Guanyao, Nie Mingjue says. He knows that he is here, that his body remains in this stupid forest searching for this pathetic ghost. But he still thinks of Nightless City. He thinks of all the ways Jin Guanyao has betrayed him. He thinks of Xu Yang running free, of how he remains imprisoned in Koi Tower when he should have paid for his crimes in blood long ago. He thinks of loving someone so strongly that he would buckle under the weight of the feeling. It turned to hatred so easily, coursing through his veins. The man in front of him once took him apart so carefully, cradled all the most vulnerable parts of himself that he could never show the rest of the world, and crushed that beneath his fingers. He can never repeat the things Jin Guanyao told him at Nightless City, when he stroked Baxia like she was his to hold. He'll take those insults to the grave. Then there are the looks, the ones he shares with Lan Xichen, the smiles and the whispered jokes that leave them both chuckling. Each feels like a barb stinging his skin. Nie Mingjue snatches the cloth from Jin Guanyao and wipes his face clean of blood. The taste lingers in his mouth, even after he reaches for water and drinks a canister dry. Perhaps we should split up, Jin Guanyao suggests, as he glances at Lan Xichen. I think seeing me is setting Daga off. Finally, you say something worth listening to, Nie Mingjue says. I don't want to leave you alone, Mingjue Xiong, Lan Xichen says, resting his hands over his guqin to stop the sound. Or you, Ayao. We can wait a bit longer before searching again. No. Let me be. We'll find the damn ghost and be done here, Nie Mingjue says. It takes additional prodding to convince Lan Xichen, but he relents with only a few wounded looks. They set out in three different directions. All Nie Mingjue has to accompany him as the familiar weight of Bashia at his back and the wind whistling in his ears. He needs to be alone. He doesn't trust himself not to lash out again. At least if he's alone, when reality falls out from beneath his feet, he's the only one who will suffer the fall. Niemingjue turns to go, but Lan Xichen's voice freezes him in place. Wait, before you both go. Niemingjue and Jin Guanyao turn to face him, acting in a tandem that has no right to exist. Lan Xichen moves towards Niemingjue first, hurrying as much as Alan is allowed to hurry. He presses a single flare gun into Niemingjue's hand. Then he moves to Jin Guanyao and does the same. I doubt you'll need it, but just in case, Lan Xichen says. We could be on opposite sides of the mountain should our ghosts continue to hide. This is very thoughtful of you, Erge. Thank you, Jin Guanyao says. He glances at Niemingjue, clearly hesitant, but then drops into a bow. When he moves to repeat the gesture to Lan Xichen, he is stopped halfway. The smile Jin Guanyao offers in response is small, but filled with genuine delight. Lan Xichen had once told him that he had never seen someone stop a bow before Niemingjue stopped his. They head out in three different directions. Niemingjue listens to the crunching of their boots as they walk, until he can hear nothing at all. He turns around to check, but they've both disappeared over the edges of the mountain. He hears a dead voice carried on the wind. Niemingjue, I thought you were a smart man. You're wasting my time with this foolishness. Do you have a death wish? Her voice still cuts so deep. Against her protests, he draws Bashia. He knows that his reliance on the blade frightens his sworn brothers. Those who aren't Nie could never understand. To live and to die by the sword spirit are one and the same. Power. Protection. Comfort. Nie sect cultivators start training with wheel weapons far earlier than most other sects. Niemingjue was 7 when his father knelt down and presented him with Bashia, whispering that he would live and die by his saber. Niemingjue had grasped her hilt, and he understood. Yet for all the pride Bashia brings him, he knows the throne of broken bones he sits on. Hui San had seen it too. The secret he had spent so long trying to hide from him. To know that Nie sect leaders are doomed to an early death is one thing. To know why so many of their sect brothers are doomed to the same is another. He spent his entire life protecting Hui San from the weight of their blood. He spent almost as much time desperate to find a way to subvert his fate. He tried to understand how to subdue the spirits, so he no longer has to take his brothers into a tomb, and know that no one will leave until another corpse is laid to rest within its walls. When that failed, he'd turned to fortifying his own body. Niemingjue has never been adept at spies. But between the innate trust other sect leaders had put in him and Hui San's love of gossip, he had found an answer in the finest doctor in Qishan Wen. Wen Qing had stayed in the unclean realm for 2 months, a lifetime ago, before the war. Before Hui San had even left for the cloud recesses, and Niemingjue had to consider the Yin Iron to be anything other than a cautionary tale. Before even Meng Yao. She was the finest doctor, her sect claimed. Wen Rohan's personal physician, from a proud line of medicinal cultivators. She'd learned everything about him she could, in an effort to starve off his inevitable death. She spent days lingering in the shadow of his every move. She'd questioned his brother, his closest advisors. What few elders still survived past the grueling life of a Nie disciple. He even enjoyed her company. She had a sharp mind and a sharper tongue, one she was far more willing to let loose after a jar of Qinghe's finest wine. She was unafraid of him, unafraid of the sword wider than the gentle curve of her waist, that he wielded with all the ease a child wields a pair of chopsticks. When she was comfortable enough to speak of her own life, she spoke of her brother, a useless, stuttering sham of a cultivator, his spiritual energy perpetually diminished thanks to a strange encounter in his boyhood. What he remembered most vividly is her ferocity, held in every word she spoke. It echoed the longing she felt to return to his side, to nestle him in her arms, and tear anything that dared to threaten him to shreds. He had never felt more seen in his life. She could not give him the answers he wanted. There came a time when she squared her shoulders, raised her chin at him, and said, in a voice he will remember until his bitter, blood-soaked death, "I can't cure a poison that my patient refuses to stop drinking." She did not stay long after that comment. Not long at all. Sometimes he wonders if he should have been the one to burn her. He wonders, on days when he looks up at the blazing sun, or passes by the healers brewing medicinal teas over open flames, what her last moments were like. If that pride carried her to the very end, bolstered by the comfort that at least she could die hand in hand with the persons she spent her life protecting. He wonders what he would have done. If he would have looked her in the eye and shared one last silent joke, that poison or not, he would outlive her. But Wen Qing and her brother are nothing but ashes in the wind now. He wonders if she was glad to die at her brother's side, in the end. The sun has long since sunk below the horizon. There is no moon tonight, forcing Nie Mingjue to use a light talisman to just see his own 2 feet. His spiritual energy guides him more than his eyes, sweeping out in arcs around him for any hint of resentful energy. The shadows of the trees contort and twist. Every errant shape throws him back into the sword sacrifice hall. A single chitter in the distance is all it takes to picture his brother falling to his death, bats swooping out from the bridge that failed to support him. He can almost hear Zongwei's voice, carried on the wind, begging him not to leave. But Huisan is safe in the unclean realm, most likely painting his newest fan and drinking wine he smuggled in from the town. He is safe. He is secure. Nie Mingjue blinks, and the forest returns to him. Huisan is safe, and Zongwei is dead. Killed by the sword spirit. He almost wonders what Jin Guanya would have said to him if they had been trapped in that tomb at the end of it all. What Meng Yao would have said, and if those words would be one and the same. If Lan Xichen had been there, perhaps he would have told the truth. The Lan forbid lying. The Nie never have. He's never told them what happened there. Even when they returned to Jin Guanyao's needlessly fluttering hands, checking over Huaisan for injury, as if he had been the one guiding his shaking calligraphy strokes as a child, Nie Mingjue offered nothing more than a grunt. Jin Guanyao had looked at Nie Mingjue after, taking him apart the way Meng Yao used to take apart ledgers. And Nie Mingjue could have sworn he saw the man wear his disappointment. "Is it balanced?" Jin Guanyao had asked. At Nie Mingjue's nod, he asked nothing more. Meng Yao had once trekked through the sword sacrifice hall at Nie Mingjue's side, helping to solve the riddles buried within that have always stumped him. And after, when they had returned to the unclean realm, with a party half the size of the one they set out with, Meng Yao had crawled into his lap and promised not to let him think of anything else but him for the rest of the night. It had worked. Nie Mingjue is alone here. Until he isn't. A strange sound jolting him from his thoughts. With Baxia tight in his grip, he creeps forward. As he approaches, he hears the sound of softly babbling water. He peeks around the side of an emaciated tree and spots a lone deer sipping from the creek. He doesn't dare approach any closer. He's no good with small, delicate things. Not animals nor children. Lan Xichen is skilled with animals. He has the kind of energy that calms them down. Perhaps he could creep close, and the deer would look at him like an ally, not an enemy. Nie Mingjue thinks of the orphans he and Meng Yao had once found in a war-torn village. Meng Yao had eased their cries in a way Nie Mingjue never could. The smallest souls find solace in his voice. His father won't let him touch Jin Ling, but Nie Mingjue once caught his quiet subterfuge. Jin Ling had cried so loudly until Jin Guanyao took him up in his arms and sang him a quiet song until he fell asleep. If that were all he was, Nie Mingjue would have sent a lacquered carriage carried by 4 sleek horses to Koi Tower in exchange for Jin Guanyao's hand peeking out from beneath a scarlet robe. A tendril of resentful energy curls around Nie Mingjue, a little to the left of his current path, away from the deer. He leaves it behind to follow the pool, shuddering as the resentment washes over him in waves. It's too unfocused to be from a single spirit, though it's also too unfocused to be a real danger. It reminds him of the final days of the Sunshot campaign, of seeing Jiang Yanli rush from dying soldier to dying soldier, trying to ease their pain in their final moments. He comes across what must be a dozen corpses, all in various stages of rot. Some are little more than skeletons, picked clean by carrion and maggots. Some are freshly dead, still bloated, and a sickly gray, not yet torn apart by the elements. They huddle together the way a family might huddle for warmth in the dead of winter. The resentful energy is stronger here, though it isn't actively malicious. It's shapeless. Something that could coalesce into a threat, given enough time to linger. But it's no matter. Lan Xichen can play rest for their souls. And then they can bury the bodies in a few shallow graves, until the villagers can come and claim their lost loved ones. In the time it takes him to pull out Lan Xichen's signal flare, the wind picks up. Resentful energy swirls around him, so powerful that he has no reason to doubt the black smoke clouding his vision. It prickles at his skin, setting him on edge. The same feeling that used to trail Wei Wuxian whenever he walked into a room. Smoke swirls over the corpses, settling into a solid form. A facsimile of life rises out of the black. It's a woman. Her eyes blank, and her mouth open in a scream. She hovers over her victims, curling around them like their family. The stories were true. She just wanted someone to hold close in the end. There's no one to hold in death, Nie Mingjoy says. If he were Lan Xichen, perhaps he'd apologize. If he were Jin Guanyao, perhaps he'd restrain her before figuring out the best course of action. Her hands settle lovingly on the shoulders of a headless corpse. Nie Mingjue watches her pull his dead body into her embrace. Her white eyes settle on him, almost pleading. He has not been held like that in a long while. Nie Mingjue draws Baxia and swings at her neck. Some part of him is distantly aware that he should fire the flare, but that thought is quick to leave as the ghost swipes at him with her smoky hand. What kind of cultivator would he be if he lost to one measly ghost? He sidesteps the attack and swings around the ghost's side, aiming a stab towards her back. Her blank, white eyes seem to settle on her corpses before looking at him and flinging herself away from his sword. Her resentment threatens to choke him, hanging thick and heavy in the night air. She's faster than he would expect for a simple villager. This must be what love does to someone. Gives them strength they never had before. Then it twists them into something unrecognizable. Keeps them tethered to this world against all better thoughts. Hui San would scoff at that. Lan Xichen would be loath to agree. But Nie Mingjue is well aware of the garden of ashes and silence he was born into. They both know that love is not enough. Jin Guanyao would agree, unflinchingly. The light talisman sputters and dies, plunging Nie Mingjue into a brief darkness. He lets the ghost's screeching drive his next attack. Her shrieks will end her spell. They fight to a surprising standstill, the ghost always dodging Nie Mingjue's attacks just before they land. He's too strong a cultivator to be tired out by one measly, resentful ghost. But the drag of time across his skin only makes him more frustrated. He's fought the ghost of his own ancestors with better success than this. He couldn't have fallen so far in just a few weeks. The darkness fades. Somewhere, in the far distance, sparks of orange creep over the horizon, as if someone shrunk the sun and left it to crawl up to the sky on its belly, a small, pathetic thing. Dying minds are known to play tricks. Nie Mingjue ignores it. Once more, the smell of smoke hits him, burning the back of his throat as he spins away from the ghost's attack. He thrusts Bashia at her, but she fades to a wisp of her own darkness and reforms behind him. He jumps away before she can claw down his back. He spins in midair to face her. Deep red flames swallow a distant tree whole. Past it, he sees a blue cloud claim the sky, the bright fireworks a sharp contrast to the orange consuming the ground. The blaze races towards him, skittering over everything in sight. It jerks and stutters over larger brush and older trees, but never stops. Golden embers fly into the air and settle on the rocks below. Nothing can withstand the red. It is overwhelmingly hot. Even the air itself burns. Suddenly, the ghost doesn't matter. Nie Mingjue throws Bashia in one last-ditch effort to eliminate her. This time, it grazes her arm, making her shriek in whatever pain she can seep through the cloud of resentment she wears like a cloak. She does not look at Nie Mingjue. She stares at the approaching flames as they consume another tree, creeping ever closer to her treasure trove of corpses. She flies over in a panic and wraps her arms around them, screaming as if the fury in her voice could quench the flames. Nie Mingjue leaves her there, clutching the poor soul she failed to call family. Bashia propels him forward, flying over the flames. Smoke makes a home in his lungs, no matter how he tries to cough it out. Staring down at the flames hurts his eyes, both from the smoke and from the light they offer to the darkness above. But he pushes through the pain. He cares about gold and blue, not orange and black. If Lan Xichen pulled the flare, Nie Mingjue would do whatever it takes to get him away from the blaze. If Jin Guanyao did, then all he can do for now is keep looking. He sees Zongwei stumble screaming out of the blaze below, devoured by flames. Bashia dips towards him, but Nie Mingjue forces her up. He knows that Zongwei is not here. He keeps looking. The flames grow higher and greedier with each passing minute, consuming everything in their path. Just enough brush covers the ground to let it jump from tree to tree, wrapping everything in its path in a furious blaze. Everywhere he looks, he sees red. He returns to the ground in roughly the place where the flare was set off from. He surveys his surroundings, trying to see anything amidst the fire. He winces as flecks of black land on his hands and his robes. The bottom of his outer robe ignites. Nie Mingjue rushes to put it out. It doesn't directly get his skin, but it burns through to his inner robes. Nie Mingjue looks up, and the sky rains ash down on him. The flames belch and bellow around him. Xichen, Nie Mingjue calls out. Jin Guanyao. The sky is an unnatural black now. The flames turn red in their fury, flowing like the lava that once surrounded Nightless City. Trees crackle and crumble on themselves as they're eaten away. Wen Qing stands amongst the blaze. Her eyes follow him as he moves. In her arms is his own severed head, so badly burnt that he barely recognizes his own features. You could have prevented this, he thinks she says. The flames smother her voice. Nianmingjue is careful to avoid the flames, and he's even more careful to avoid Wenqing. He tries to inhale and chokes on the smoke, leaving him coughing. "Si Chen," he tries again. "Where are you?" Between the smoke in his lungs and the panic clawing its way up his throat, breathing feels nearly impossible. If he were better at talismans, if he were Huisan, maybe he could put some of these flames out. Maybe he could do better than stand here and shout to the winds. The voice that greets him is not Lan Xichen's. "There you are, Daga," Jin Guanyao says, stepping over a tree as it loses the last of its support and crashes to the ground. He offers Nie Mingjue the smirk Lan Xichen never gets to see. "I was waiting for you." "Jin Guanyao, did you set off the flare?" Nie Mingjue asks. Realizing that the answer doesn't matter, he continues on. "No need. We need to find Xichen and leave this place." Jin Guanyao just smiles. The same serene look he once gave in Nightless City, the moment he realized that he held power over Nie Mingjue within those palace walls. "Leave? No. I don't think that will be possible." He slinks forward, uncaring of the destruction that blazes around him. Qin Guanyao laughs, the sound free and unrestrained, as if delighted by a joke Nie Mingjue can't hear. "Do you know why I set the flare, Daga?" Nie Mingjue clenches his fist at his side, as if he couldn't crush Qin Guanyao's windpipe with his bare hands. As if he hasn't fantasized doing that exact thing over and over. "Stop fooling around. We need to find Xichen and leave." "Erga is fine. You, on the other hand..." He looks away, coy and submissive. His eyes flick back to Nie Mingjue, now coupled with an absolutely disgusting smile. At the end of it all, even the mighty Qifeng Zun is flesh and blood. And what does flesh and blood do? The flames rage around them, licking at the bottom of Jin Guanyao's robes. If it hurts him, he doesn't show it. It burns. All he does is laugh. "I am going to die here," Nie Mingjue thinks. "No, not tonight." Bashia shouts in his grip, vibrating with the rage that pours out of him and pulls in her. "Jin Guanyao," he roars. "You're a traitor. You always have been." He rushes forward. Jin Guanyao disappears into the fire. His voice echoes all around Nie Mingjue. "I was always good to you, Daga. I went on my knees for you. I sacrificed my heart to that Wen sword for you. Remember that, when I almost gave my life for yours. I would have died had it pierced any deeper. Was that not enough?" Nie Mingjue whips around, looking for that grinning face amongst the flames. He finds Jin Guanyao standing under a tree, unbothered by the destruction that swallows him whole. The flames burn so hot they should melt the eyes out of his skull, but they don't. Those eyes, large and dark and hauntingly beautiful as they have always been, track Nie Mingjue's every movement. Nie Mingjue aims a strike for his neck. Jin Guanyao bends backward before the hit connects, submerging himself in the blaze. "You loved me, you pathetic fool," Jin Guanyao chides, in the exact voice he uses to chide Jin Ling when he doesn't finish a meal. Suddenly, he's at Nie Mingzhui's back, his hand wrapped over Nie Mingzhui's. He tries to pry Baxia from his grip. Nie Mingzhui elbows him in the face. Jin Guanyao stumbles back, shaken, but not deterred. A trickle of blood escapes his nose, now twisted out of shape. "You still love me. You love me so much it consumes you, Nie Mingzhui. That gnarled knot that takes root in your chest whenever you see me. You're delusional enough to call it hate, aren't you?" Nie Mingzhui roars and thrusts Baxia forward. She cuts through the arm of his robes, leaving a streak of scarlet as Jin Guanyao darts back into the chaos. He laughs once more. The sound echoes in the confines of Nie Mingzhui's skull. Then there are slight hands on his stomach, sending shockwaves through his body. "You want me, Nie Mingzhui. You want my body, my mind, my soul. And perhaps I want yours, too," Jin Guanyao tuts. "Perhaps I'll rip your heart out of your chest and place it over mine until our heartbeats are one and the same." He stands on his tiptoes, whispering his next words into Nie Mingzhui's ears. His lips brush burning skin with every syllable. "I'll keep you with me forever, I swear." Nie Mingzhui wraps a hand around Jin Guanyao's throat. His pulse hums steadily under his fingers. He is calm, unaffected. The blaze circles them and laps at Jin Guanyao's back. His golden robes wilt to a disgusting brown. They fall apart like petals after the last bloom. "You're aware, aren't you, that for all I love Lan Xichen, I'm still fond of you?" Jin Guanyao embraces him. He rests their foreheads together. Nie Mingzhui cannot see the flames. He cannot see the smoke. All he can see are two eyes, large and impossibly dark. "But I love myself far more than I've ever loved you." Jin Guanyao kisses him like it's a promise, and Nie Mingzhui cuts the man to ribbons. He slices him limb from limb, carving sinew away from bone, searching for any grain of truth this man's wretched body still holds. He screams until his throat is bloodied from the strain, fighting until nothing but red and stained gold remains. That's when he hears another voice, a desperate one, hollowed out with a bone-deep fear that chills his blood, despite the sweat rolling down him in waves. "Daga! Daga, I found you!" He turns around, Jin Guanyao's blood on his hands, on his robes, in his mouth. It fills his mouth, and he has no choice but to spit, scattering scarlet over the front of Lan Xichen's singed robes. Nie Mingzhui has seen Lan Xichen stumble into the unclean realm as a shell of his former self, just days after he returned to the mutilated cloud recesses. He has seen silent tears stream down his face as his brother stood on that cliffside, ready to throw his life away for the man-turned-beast that ruined all of theirs. He's never seen this pure, animalistic fear before. His robes are burnt. What was once a pristine white and blue is now an uneven patchwork of brown and gray. Daga, please stop. You're making the fire worse. His voice is a hoarse, smoked, charred cry. He surges forward, unafraid, as he grabs Bashia and lowers her onto the soot-stained dirt. He's crying, Nie Mingzhui realizes. Lan Xichen hardly cries, but he's crying now. I killed him, Xichen, Nie Mingzhui says. That... Lan Xichen stops himself, hesitant. His ex-lover murdered his current lover in a frenzy, spilt his blood on his robes, and yet he remains composed enough to collect his thoughts. Daga, he says slowly, gently, placatingly. Put Bashia away. Take my hand. Please. Baffled as he may be, the least Nie Mingzhui can do for him is obey. Lan Xichen seems to move forward solely on instinct. He darts around flames as they leap out at them, deft as the deer Nie Mingzhui spotted earlier. His hand never leaves Nie Mingzhui's. Nie Mingzhui looks over his shoulder. He sees no body, no blood, save for the trail following with him his every step. All that remains is a destroyed forest, ravaged by flames. Lan Xichen trembles as they slow down, still making their way through the blaze. Embers dance around them, clinging to the ends of their singed robes, the way war-torn orphans clung to Meng Yao. His hand sweats in Nie Mingzhui's, the kind of cold, clammy sensation that only fear sweat can bring. Everywhere Nie Mingzhui looks, he sees Jin Guanyao. He sits on the broken corpses of trees that stood tall and proud just an hour earlier. Bashia lays on his lap. He rests it against his cheek, the way he used to pull Nie Mingzhui's hand forward to nestle into. Where is Jin Guanyao? Nie Mingzhui asks. Jin Guanyao catches his eye and smiles. He lifts Bashia up and traces the edge of the blade with his tongue. He slices his tongue open and smiles around a mouthful of blood. Ah Yao is safe, Lan Xichen says, his voice thick. He tries to cough around the smoke he must inhale with every shaky breath, and chokes on air instead. Nie Mingzhui slaps his other hand, the one that isn't trapped in Lan Xichen's death grip, against his back. You'll be safe soon too, Daga. Flames lance up a nearby tree. The winds pepper them with ash and embers, floating down like snowflakes to settle on their skin. The worst part is that the trees do not immediately catch on fire. It crackles and screams as the blaze dances its way up and down, teasing its touch without a promise to stay. Until it does stay, in a burst of terrible sparks. The tree shudders and groans, collapsing in on itself as it's consumed from the inside out. The smell of burned meat claws at them as Lan Xichen breaks into a run. The rabbits, Lan Xichen chokes out. He moves, but Nie Mingzhui doesn't think he can see the truth either. They pass by Wen Qing. They pass by Zhongwei. by every brother Nie Mingjue sacrificed to his ancestors, by bats and broken brushes and everything and anything Nie Mingjue has ever tried to forget. Lan Xichen takes him to the mouth of a cave, tucked up into the mountainside. A small thing, one that had probably belonged to a leopard or two some time ago. A light blue shimmer stretches over the mouth of the cave, keeping the billowing smoke from seeping inside. Flames lick at the screen, but never breach it. Lan Xichen pulls Nie Mingjue inside. Once they pass the barrier, he lets go of Nie Mingjue's hand and sinks to the ground, coughing non-stop. He curls in on himself. He catches his breath, only for it to turn to anxious hyperventilating. Erga! Jin Guanyao, singed and disheveled, but in one solid piece, scrambles towards Lan Xichen on his hands and knees. He pulls Lan Xichen into a sitting position and places his hands on his cheeks. Breathe with me, Erga. Okay? Jin Guanyao takes a few exaggerated breaths, waiting for Lan Xichen to follow his lead. They stare at each other, but Nie Mingjue knows that look well. That is not the look of a man whose mind lives in the present. Nie Mingjue makes himself useful. He rips off the least burnt part at the bottom of his robes, ignoring the bats that chitter and squeal at the back of the cave. Half-rotten hands stretch out of the ground. One crunches beneath his boot as he goes to the water supply kept in the corner and wets the cloth. He crouches at Jin Guanyao's side and holds up both the water and the wet rag. A light has returned to Lan Xichen's eyes, and upon seeing that flash of recognition, Jin Guanyao rubs his thumb over his cheek. You did so well, Erga. I knew you would. You saved him, he coos. He takes the water and brings it to Lan Xichen's mouth. Once he's drunk his fill, and his humanity seems to fill out underneath his skin, Jin Guanyao turns his attention back to Nie Mingjue. He tuts to himself, and casts a pointed look down at the cloth. They don't need words to communicate what he should do. Nie Mingjue scrubs at his face. The rag comes back drenched in red. Jin Guanyao returns his attention to Lan Xichen. For all the lies that surround him, this, Jin Guanyao, is true. There is nothing false in the way Lan Xichen curls into his touch. What happened? Nie Mingjue asks. A fierce corpse tears itself out of the ground and snarls. It is not real. It cannot be. He looks away, even as Baxia shrieks her protest. Jin Guanyao glances nervously at the saber, but he still draws the one weapon that has never failed him. I saw Erga's signal flare and came to find him. I'm not sure where the fire broke out, but I met with Erga in the flames. I found this cave, and intended to shelter him here. But he sealed me in here, and left to find you, he explains, his free hand coming to run through Lan Xichen's hair. His touch is so soft, containing impossible tenderness. He can almost feel those hands sliding around his waist. He shakes the sensation away. It isn't real. They've never spoken about what they used to have. What did you see, Daga? Jin Guanyao asks. I saw the ghost. And I saw you out there, Nie Mingjue says. Those words shake something out of him. Baxia flies to his grip, every bit as furious as he is. The fire rages outside. The corpses wail and groan within. Nie Mingjue raises his voice above the fray. Jin Guanyao, you did this. Mingjue Xiong, Lan Xichen says, his voice just as sharp as any sword. It is the first time he's spoken since they made it in here. His voice is scratched, rough from all the smoke. You are mistaken. Ba Yao isn't lying. I had seen this cave as I searched, so when he found me, I brought him here. I kept him inside. Here, his voice almost breaks. He takes a breath, trying to compose himself. Then Zhuo Jun turns to him. I sealed A Yao in here. I've lost too much to flames. Don't you remember that he was the one who found me after Cloud Recesses burned? He would never subject me to that again. Nie Mingjue shakes with the effort of staying still. You've never stood in his way, Xichen. You've always bent when he needed you to. What will happen when you don't? Do you really think he values your life more than his own? Jin Guanyao looks resolutely at the ground. He leaves Lan Xichen to fight this battle for him, the sniveling rat that he is. And Lan Xichen, strung out on his scarred memories, does. Sec Leader Nie, he begins. You attack your own brother in broad daylight. You fight monsters that don't exist, spreading a fire that's ravaging this mountainside even further. I know you still don't trust A Yao, but you once said you trust me. And you must trust me now, when I tell you that you cannot believe the tricks your mind plays on you. Things do not come into existence simply because you wish them to. The worst thing is that he's right. The people around him cloak the truth in niceties and false assurances. But a palace built on lies is doomed to crumble. He's poisoned from the inside out, spreading further until it touches everyone he loves. He's sick, Jin Guanyao mutters. It isn't his fault. But it is. He does not trust Jin Guanyao. He's seen his cruelty, his willingness to take a life for the sake of starving off a few pointless insults. He has his father's ruthlessness. While he's never met his mother, he imagines that he took his honeyed words from her. We came all the way out here to help you relax, Daga. And yet it seems like the gods themselves conspire against us, Jin Guanyao says, in some half-hearted attempt at a joke. His gaze flicks, low and dangerous, to the tempest raging just outside their small shelter. It's quieter now. It seems that Lan Xichen's anger has scared the corpses away. He looks for them, but they sink back into the ground. One by one, the bats fly outside, right into the blaze. Yes, Nie Mingjue says. I suppose we'll need to stay here until the fire dies down. Erge's talismans are strong. We'll be safe as long as it rages, Jin Guanyao says. Lan Xichen tilts his head, until he stares out at the mouth of the cave. His once impeccable posture flags, weighed down by exhaustion and pain. Nie Mingjoy wonders what he sees out there. The Qinghe mountainside, or the ruins of his home. Jin Guanyao huffs out a breath. "Now, now," he chides, turning his attention back to Lan Xichen. He's in his element here, Nie Mingjoy realizes, slipping into something one shade more genuine than the gracious host he plays on his father's behalf. "I won't let you keep making that face. Your home is safe. Your hearts are safe. You are safe. Things will die tonight, but nothing that won't grow back. Nothing that could have endured if it had lived anyway. There is no need to mourn." He tilts Lan Xichen's head until they're forced to make eye contact, then offers him that unique smile, the one that he presents as a gift to Lan Xichen and Lan Xichen only. "Ah, Yao," Lan Xichen murmurs, pausing just long enough to press a kiss to his brow. "How do you keep saving me so effortlessly?" When faced with something like that, how could anyone see them and not know intrinsically that they are lovers? Was Nie Mingjue ever this tender? No, he decides. Not with his words, at least. Maybe in his actions, when hidden under the cover of darkness, or the haze of alcohol. Another thing he doesn't talk about. With Lan Xichen pacified, they both turn their attention back to Nie Mingjue. Lan Xichen sits a little straighter, settling back into his skin. He looks apologetic. "Dage," he says, "I spoke based only on my emotions. I've overstepped." "No. You were right, Xichen." This is where Nie Mingjue hesitates. He's no good with words. He looks out to the mouth of the cave, where the fire rages on. The smoke is nothing but a scratch at the back of his throat here, but he sees it billow from the inferno less than a stone's throw away. Wen Qing stands at the mouth of the cave. She places a hand against the barrier. Even in the years that swell in space since their last meeting, he remembers her eyes, sharp, calculating, able to cut through bone and sinew to expose the bloody truth within. She never tolerated lies. The flames lick at her red robes, charring the once beautiful fabric. Even as it climbs higher, she never once tears her eyes away from Nie Mingjue. If anything, she dares him to look away first. The flames swallow her whole. Nothing but ash remains. "I'm sick," Nie Mingjue says. He bristles at the sensation of skin against his own. He looks down and sees Jin Guanyao's hand carefully resting over his own. There is no darkness in his smile. Not this time. As if he's trying to present Nie Mingjue with a gift. "Then we'll play for you," Lan Xichen says. He settles down at the edge of the cave, pointedly turning away from the mouth of the cave. What tears apart the forest outside still plays over the walls, dancing and twisting in the shadows. But it's also what gives them enough light to see each other. Lan Xichen summons his guqin with a wave of his hand. After tuning a few errant strings, he starts to play. Cleansing washes over him in familiar waves, settling the rage that still hums over his skin. He takes a deep breath and closes his eyes. "Yes, like that, Daga," Jin Guanyao murmurs softly. "We can't control what happens outside, but we're safe here. Take this night to relax." He leans in close, his breath ghosting the shell of Nie Mingjue's ear. "One last night," he whispers. Nie Mingjue can't tell if those words are real. "What?" A smile. At least, that's what he thinks. "I asked how you feel, Daga," he says. "You were in a very dangerous part of the fire." "I'm uninjured," he says, even if his robes would suggest otherwise. "Xichen, are you hurt?" Xichen speaks over the steady plucks of his strings. Some distant part of Nie Mingjue wonders if he could sing and play at the same time. "Don't worry about me. I'm fine." "I can check if you'd like," Jin Guanyao says. He leans back and runs his fingers around a hole in Nie Mingjue's outermost robe, right over his bicep. Then his hand stills, fingers delicately squeezing the muscle there. Nie Mingjue feels a burst of heat under his skin. He feels half wild as he looks at Jin Guanyao, baffled. Cleansing is meant to wash the mind of resentful energy, to settle errant qi, and return the body to equilibrium. It's meant to soothe the passages of time, painting over it in calming colors until nothing is left but a quiet haze. Every second stretches so long now. All Jin Guanyao does is chuckle. Nothing but calm composure. "Ah, forgive me. I've missed what we used to have." "Oh." The thing about betrayal is that the more you cared, the more it stings. They had been lovers once. One last night. Nie Mingjue pulls Jin Guanyao into a kiss. The years have changed their robes and harshened the lines of their beings, but this is the same as it once was. There is a terrifying moment where Jin Guanyao stiffens, followed immediately by a soft inhale somewhere off to the side. Nie Mingjue wonders if he's read the situation wrong, but he soon banishes the thought. Even strung out on panic, Jin Guanyao is far too careful to let errant words slip past his lips. He wouldn't say that unless he wanted Nie Mingjue to act on it. He wants this man more than he wants to rage over being manipulated. His suspicions are confirmed when Jin Guanyao melts into the kiss. He shifts closer, one step removed from the way he used to all but collapse in Nie Mingjue's lap the moment they were behind closed doors after a particularly stressful day. Jin Guanyao pulls away and tilts his head. The smile he gives Lan Xichen is a precious gift, one plucked free of thorns and handled with the finest care. "Will you keep playing, Erga? I'll take over for you soon." Lan Xichen nods. He looks shaken, but not broken. Far from it. Even from this distance, there is a desperate hunger in his eyes. "Are you done talking?" Nie Mingjue grunts, his hand settling on Jin Guanyao's back to pull him closer. He spots a flicker of irritation on Jin Guanyao's face, but when their mouths meet again, whether or not he's still pissed off stops mattering. And this, folding into each other, is familiar. They know the steps to this dance. Nie Mingjue has engraved certain facts onto his memory, try as he might have to forget them. How much pressure to apply when he runs his hand along the back of Jin Guanyao's neck? How to bite at his bottom lip until he lets out a breathy moan? The way his eyelashes flutter when something feels particularly nice. It seems that Jin Guanyao hasn't forgotten him either. He had spent so long learning every trick there was to pull Nie Mingjue apart. He's a liar, a traitor, a desperately angry man who looked at the pain fate brought upon him and decided that the only justice that mattered was the one that made his enemies suffer 10 times as much. But he is an attentive lover. Cleansing feels almost like a heavy quilt, the kind he layers his bed with during the coldest months in Qinghe. It smooths over his emotions, teasing out the strands of rage one by one, until he's left with nothing but breath. It makes it easier to stop thinking. Maybe that's why his hands go to Jin Guanyao's belts, why he tangles his fingers in the loops of the ties. "I wasn't sure if you'd wanted that, Daga," Jin Guanyao murmurs. "Do you?" Nie Mingjue's voice sounds rough, even to his own ears. "I do." Jin Guanyao pulls back. Nie Mingjue works on unfastening his robes as Jin Guanyao focuses on the smaller items of clothing. His shoes, his hat, the frivolous accessories he must like simply because they're expensive. Nie Mingjue takes in the sight. Jin Guanyao was always small for a Nie disciple, but he was still made of more unrelenting muscle than anything else. Lanling Jin has made him soft. He's still a cultivator, still some kind of warrior, but he has shaped nothing like Nie Mingjue. Nothing like Lan Xichen either, in the few times they'd slept together during Sunshot. "Your turn, Daga," Jin Guanyao says, slinking forward to slip Nie Mingjue's charred outermost robe off his shoulders. The fabric pulls around him. More quickly follows. They all breathe harshly, even Lan Xichen. His fingers stutter as he plays, but he lets the mistake linger in the air as he moves forward. The fire still rages on outside. Loud, but not as loud as they are. Tomorrow, nothing will remain. Nie Mingjue doesn't think about that. He hardly thinks at all, save for the hot mouth on his skin and the hands roaming the plains of his body. He and Jin Guanyao fall into an old rhythm, staying close and grinding against one another. At first, they try to go slow, try to follow the path Lan Xichen sets out for them with every note. The heat building deep in Nie Mingjue's gut, says otherwise. Nie Mingjue sinks his teeth into Jin Guanyao's shoulder when he takes them both in hand. The calluses on his fingers are new, but the grip and the twist of his hands is not. He bites down until he tastes the copper tang of blood, until Jin Guanyao's moans turn breathy, and he grinds against Nie Mingjue at a frantic pace. This is what they've become. Frantic. Desperate. Jin Guanyao wraps his arms around Nie Mingjue's back and rakes his nails down burning skin. There will be marks tomorrow, but that's a problem for tomorrow. He knows Jin Guanyao is close to finishing when his rhythm stutters. His whole body stiffens when he soon finds his release, making nothing more than quiet little gasps. That sight is what drives Nie Mingjue over the edge, his forehead falling against Jin Guanyao's reddened shoulder as the haze of orgasm takes over. At some point, Jin Guanyao must push him backwards, since Nie Mingjue blinks into the hazy awareness thanks to the cold stone pressing against his back. Jin Guanyao lays on top of him, still fighting to catch his breath. They kiss, if only because they're too close not to. Lan Xichen still plays in the background, though the notes themselves carry the weight of his restraint. I should take over, Jin Guanyao says, after he's cleaned them up a little. He gets to his feet on shaky, dough-weak legs. Nie Mingjue tilts his head to watch as Jin Guanyao leans down and rests his hands over Lan Xichen's, the song coming to a sudden stop. It should be quiet, but it is not. For all that the smoke can't breach the barrier Lan Xichen sets up, the crackle and pop of life becoming soot still sounds. Thank you for being so patient, Erga, Jin Guanyao says. He pulls Lan Xichen into a kiss, something deep and sweet and far too brief. Lan Xichen trails after his lips as he pulls away with a teasing smile. He then helps Lan Xichen to his feet, tangling one of their hands together and leaving the other to palm the front of Lan Xichen's robes. They stand like that for a minute, Lan Xichen gasping brokenly as Jin Guanyao continues to tease him. He kisses Lan Xichen's neck and murmurs what must be praises into the skin there. Nie Mingjue is too far away to hear the specifics. Then Jin Guanyao breaks away and settles down at Lan Xichen's guqin. The song starts once more. But it sounds different. Nie Mingjue doesn't know enough about the musical cultivation to know why. Just that it does. He thinks he's heard this difference before, but he's always attributed it to them playing on different guqins, tuned slightly out of alignment. Or maybe it's just the differences in how they play. Or how Jin Guanyao is not as inexperienced a player as Lan Xichen. He doesn't know. He decides not to care. Not when Lan Xichen kneels in front of him and asks, "Can I kiss you?" "Of course you can," Nie Mingjue replies. "It's been a long time, Xichen." "It has." Nie Mingjue doesn't have him memorized quite the way he does Jin Guanyao, but he still tastes the same. They take it slow. Nie Mingjue is still too spent from his first orgasm to want to work up to a second, and Lan Xichen has always been nothing but patient. They kiss, languid and lazy, sprawled out on Ye Mingjue's robes on the cave floor. He undoes Lan Xichen's robes slowly, letting them flow open around him as his hands find the unyielding muscles of his chest and stomach. Lan Xichen is impeccable, probably the most gorgeous man Nie Mingjue has ever had the fortune of seeing. To paw him out of the last of his robes, to kiss him until he can do nothing but bend under Nie Mingjue's touch, is something close to divine. Nie Mingjue doesn't tease so much as he simply enjoys the build-up. Lan Xichen seems to have no complaints as his mouth trails down his chest. He rubs Nie Mingjue's shoulders, takes one of his braids, and twirls it around his fingers. "You're so good to me, Mingjue Xiong," he breathes out. "I'm not sure what I did to deserve you." Nie Mingjue mouths at the trail of dark hair just past his navel. He kneads the skin on the inside of Lan Xichen's thighs, and is thrilled to discover that they're every bit as sensitive as they once were. Lan Xichen sighs his quiet delight. The music continues to play. The thrill turns to something sharper, something far redder. His nails dig into that skin, and the sighs turn to a gasp. He hears Jin Guanyao's own gasp in the distance, and something in the music... Nie Mingjue cannot tell. "Did I hurt you?" Nie Mingjue says. He moves to pull away, but Xichen gently tugs him back into place. His body runs cooler than Nie Mingjue's, as if the Gusu Lan cold springs run through his veins in place of blood. His hand is cool against the back of Nie Mingjue's neck. Against his better judgment, he leans into it. "You shocked me, Mingjue Xiong," he says softly. "I'm not hurt. I still want this. And I still want you." His body confirms this, still hard, still aching to be touched. "On your back," Nie Mingjue says, voice so rough and rocky, he'd almost think that Lan Xichen had already fucked his mouth. Lan Xichen rolls over, and Nie Mingjue takes him in his mouth. He takes Lan Xichen apart carefully, thoroughly, with all the steady dedication he's afforded anyone and everything he's ever cared about in his life. When Lan Xichen is trembling beneath him, moaning quietly, and using all of his self-control not to thrust up into Nie Mingjue's mouth, he makes the mistake of looking up. Jin Guanyao watches them like he'd rip their hearts out of their chests and consume them, if only to keep them close. A thought occurs to him, one that not even cleansing can free him of. Nie Mingjue has never been one for rumor mills or spy networks. They're underhanded. He doesn't permit his advisors to take advantage of them, for the most part. This has not stopped him from keeping an ear to the ground in Lanling, listening to the murmurs of a populace disgusted by the heir to their sect. The thing is, no one there speaks ill of Jin Guanyao's actions. They belittle his birthplace, his mother, the way he trots around his father's feet like a dog looking for a treat. But those are nothing but false conceptions and worn-out stories. They speak of his marriage to Qin Shu. Even those foolhardy enough to speak ill of the way Jin Guanshan throws away bodies like they're scraps of half-eaten food, praised Jin Guanyao's treatment of his wife. He is kind, courteous, and respectful. They are the future of Lanling Jin, promising to bury the dirt that the Jin have long since tried to cover up. He does not take concubines. He's well within his right to, but he's never so much as looked at another woman salaciously. Why have consorts when he can have sect leaders? The morning comes. A fierce wind blows outside, whipping up ash and soot in small flurries. It stains the bottom of Nie Mingjue's already filthy robes, and leaves Jin Guanyao and Lan Xichen in no better shape. Lan Xichen touches the trunk of a broken tree. It crumbles underneath his fingertips. He steps back, shaking all over. He lifts a hand to his mouth, silent tears rolling down his cheeks. Ones that Jin Guanyao has to stand on the tip of his toes just to wipe away with his ruined sleeve. There is no birdsong, no rustle of leaves and petals underfoot, their steps muffled by ash. Nothing but the howling wind. "It's gone," Lan Xichen says. "It's all gone." "Things burn, Erga. It will regrow. It always does," Jin Guanyao says, placing a consoling hand over Lan Xichen's. All he receives in response is a tensed jawline. So much life, and so much dead. They pick their way through the wreckage. Nie Mingjue toes through the black at his feet, searching for any scrap of brush that survived. He finds nothing. "What about our ghost?" Jin Guanyao asks. "I can take you to where I saw her." Nie Mingjue isn't sure how this blaze affects a being consumed by resentful energy. It's worth a look. "I doubt we'll need to suppress her any further, but it'd do us good to play rest for her victims." "Of course. Lead the way," Lan Xichen says. He's trying to fold himself back into Zhu Wujun, the leader that rebuilt his sect from ash. Nie Mingjue allows the move. He tries to find something else to say. Something to comfort Lan Xichen, probably. They stop talking about it. Everywhere they turn, it's the same sight. Broken corpses of what were tall trees just a day ago. Ash underfoot, stirred up into the air from the wind and from their movements. How could Lan Xichen not face this sight and think of cloud recesses, left in pieces? It's hard to tell just how far they need to go without any landmarks to judge by. But a surge of resentful energy is all Nie Mingjue needs to direct him. Once it hangs in the air, it's easy to track until they reach the epicenter. There should be corpses here. There aren't. The only sign that they'd ever existed at all is the stench of burnt flesh, still hanging in the air. "What's this?" Jin Guanyao says, a flash of yellow peeking out against the black. He picks up a half-burnt talisman paper, careful not to let it disintegrate any further. "I used a lighting talisman last night," Nie Mingjue explains, "to fight the ghost." "Are you sure?" "What? Do you think I can't make a talisman we teach our youngest disciples, Jin Guanyao?" he snaps, suddenly irritated. Jin Guanyao's eyes widen, and he ducks his head, careful not to irritate Nie Mingjue any further. Lan Xichen takes the talisman and examines it. Something in him breaks. Nie Mingjue isn't sure what. Without a word, he passes the talisman over. Nie Mingjue looks at it, flipping the paper for what's made them both so distraught. He traces the lines of the talisman with his fingers. It's a simple talisman, one even a child could make without error. They only have half of it, he realizes. And the bottom half of a lighting talisman and a burning talisman are the same. Hui San greets them at the gate. To anyone who doesn't know him, he appears eager. His smile is the kind of thing he used to deploy whenever he received news that the illustrious Su Wujun or the generous Li Fangzun was coming to visit. Nie Mingjue sees his other tells. The way he bites his lip. The constant tap, tap, tap of his fan against his hand. Not open to conceal his face, but snapped shut. Daga, Erga, Sangha, Hui San says, as soon as they're close enough to meet. He bows to them. I trust the hunt went well. He directs that question to Nie Mingjue, his eyes wide and searching. Scared, but he hides his fear well. Nie Mingjue can pinpoint the exact moment when he realizes that their robes are burnt. He lets the sight answer for him. Hui San, it's good to see you. How about we discuss our finds over tea? Jin Guanyao beseeches, stepping forward. He bows slightly as he gestures towards the gate, as if he were still Meng Yao, and it was still his duty to receive guests. Hui San glances back at Nie Mingjue, searching for confirmation. At Nie Mingjue's nod, he turns to go inside. Neither speak to Nie Mingjue. Jin Guanyao casts a look back at Nie Mingjue before heading inside. He's too empty to try and interpret the meaning. Lan Xichen moves forward, silent as a ghost. He hasn't said a single word the entire way back. Nie Mingjue doubts he'll say anything other than farewells as he leaves. Nie Mingjue moves to follow them, but Hui San drops his fan at Nie Mingjue's feet, stopping them both. He scrambles to pick it up. As he straightens, the searching look returns. Da Ge, what happened out there? Hui San asks, in barely more than a whisper. He touches a singed part of Nie Mingjue's outermost robe, circling the burn mark. What was once silver turns brown at the edges. It cracks and breaks away when Hui San presses a little too hard. Still, Nie Mingjue does not answer. Is anyone hurt? He tries again. His emotions overwhelm him at the best of times. Anger is the easiest to fall back into and let consume. That fire consumed so much. Hui San sees tears, hot and heavy, stream down his brother's face. He blurs in the water. He had blurred in the sword sacrifice hall, too. There is nothing left to say. Not anymore. The end. Thanks for listening. And if you want to go flail about all of these feelings I've hopefully shared with you, you can come comment to me, Keeper of Seeds, the reader, or Espera, the author.